Hey, Fitheads. Today we talk with Nick Allen, the Cutback Coach. He has an app called Cutback Coach. And yeah, he gave me some pretty convincing arguments to become a mindful drinker. Actually, I already think I am. I just didn't even know that I had a name for it.
Yeah, smarter drinker. The big thing was, it's not like it's cut back, not cut out. You know, the app isn't for someone who's like trying to dead stop drinking altogether. The app is for someone that's trying to manage how they live their life and how they introduce alcohol into their life, which is funny because that's the one answer we ask everybody on this podcast. Right.
How do you manage alcohol in training? Yeah. And it wasn't just about like, oh, let's just have less. It's the idea of enjoying it more and like being better at drinking alcohol because you're appreciating it. I thought that was super cool.
Yeah. It's optimizing.
Ooh.
Your booze-tomizing. No, that's, we got to work on that.
We can't send that to him. We need to trademark it.
Welcome to Total Fitheads.
Serious fitness for not so serious people.
Welcome, Nick. Are you the Cutback Coach or is that just your product? Can I call you Coach?
Yeah, that's right. So I'm one of a few coaches, but the original. So whatever works for you.
OG Cutback Coach.
Cutback King. Cutback King.
That's right. The captain, if you will.
Awesome. So, okay. I mean, I started messing around with your intro quiz and everything, but for our fit heads who are just getting used to what you do, give us a background on Cutback Coach.
Yeah, absolutely. So Cutback Coach is really meant to help anyone who drinks alcohol connect the dots between the role that alcohol plays in their overall health and wellness, and to help folks who drink just build a little bit more mindfulness and intentionality about when and how much they drink. You know, we're really about helping people who drink and enjoy alcohol to continue to enjoy and actually enjoy alcohol more, while kind of minimizing the downsides of overdoing it here and there and kind of waking up with hangovers or generally kind of, you know, days lost to productivity because of kind of overconsumption. So we really kind of see, you know, monitoring and managing your alcohol consumption more akin to, you know, the way that we've learned to proactively manage diet and exercise. So just like we don't wait until we get extremely out of shape before we start kind of managing and thinking about diet and exercise, we believe you shouldn't wait until drinking becomes, you know, a problem in your life or really out of balance before you start being proactive and kind of thinking about the role that it plays in your health and wellness. And so it turns out that kind of small changes to your drinking habits can actually have a really large and profound impact on the way that you feel, the way that you look, and generally kind of your mental and physical well-being. And so that's what we're really here to do, to, you know, make a category that isn't so based in kind of, you know, this kind of stigma or that's, you know, that you don't really talk about, but to bring alcohol into its place in our overall health and wellness, basically.
Yeah, Max and I only have one question that we make sure to ask every guest, and it is, how do you incorporate alohol in your training? And correct me if I'm wrong, Max, that started because we were thinking that everyone we see on the fitness industry is like, no, you can never drink, and if you have one sip your testosterone drops and you will turn into a skinny little skeleton or whatever.
Yeah
totally. And the fact is, you know, there's a lot of kind of this camp of all or nothing when it comes to alcohol, where, you know, either you're kind of a problem drinker who needs to quit drinking entirely, or, you know, if you have a little bit, it's going to totally blow up your fitness routine, or you're like totally healthy and you know you don't need any help at all. And the fact is, you know, myself and many others like me fall into much more of a gray area of, you know, wanting to continue to enjoy drinking and cutting it out entirely not being realistic, and yet having opportunities to make improvements in terms of, you know, the role that it plays in our fitness and our wellness. So yeah, I think it's kind of funny. You know, there's a lot out there that you know is focused on the idea of like alcohol is this great evil or this thing that you need to, you know, completely cut out, but we think it can be a really healthy part of your life if managed mindfully and with intentionality. Hmm.
You mentioned a couple of small tweaks that go a long way. Can you give us a couple, hit us with some examples?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, a few things that we focus on with our members are introducing at least a few dry days into the week. So there are a lot of us who, you know, basically aren't intense drinkers, but are pretty frequent drinkers in terms of, you know, having one or two glasses of wine every single day, or at least most days of the week. And so just introducing a couple dry days into the week, there's some science that says basically three consecutive dry days each week gives you your body and your liver just some room to kind of recover and reset. So we focus a lot on, you know, not having it be an everyday thing as kind of one, you know, pretty quick win. And then the other thing that we think about is helping folks cut out those last drinks at the end of the night as you're approaching bedtime and as you're kind of starting to wind down. It turns out that having a little bit of a it turns out that having a little bit of a break between the last drink and when you go to sleep has been shown to improve your sleep quality and kind of reduce the impact that alcohol can have on your REM cycles and just kind of the quality of sleep that you have. So those are a couple areas that we focus on. And then generally, you know, we try to listen to, we try to help our members kind of listen to their bodies and cut out the ones that you don't really want that end up contributing to the hangovers as well, right? So once you've had three, it turns out that fourth glass of wine or that fifth glass of wine doesn't actually contribute much to your utility and your enjoyment of the drinking and of kind of that session, but does have an outsized impact on how you feel the next day. And so we focus on mindfulness in that way, which is taking a pause between each drink to feel where you are, rather than kind of needing to chase the next one to kind of, you know, improve the experience even more. There's definitely a diminishing return there. And just with a little bit of behavioral psychology and intentionality, it becomes pretty easy to kind of pull those ones out, and those have the really big impact on how you feel.
Yeah, the third one's tough. But if you get over the hump of the fourth one, that fifth one, that's the one that really.
Yeah, it does get tougher. I mean, this is one of those things where it gets harder and harder to kind of stay mindful the further along in a drinking that you get. So we're definitely right. Conscious of that, and we don't judge, right? It's, you know, we're not here to make you feel bad about your drinking or to, you know, give you a big red X if you miss your target on a day or something along those lines. You know, it's really about making a conscious choice. And sometimes that choice is to have that fifth glass of wine, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But other times, if it's a random Tuesday and you're just sitting on the couch watching TV, like probably, you know, ones that you don't necessarily need and that you're not going to feel great about the next day. And those are the ones that we help you to target really on your own terms.
Well, then are you saying a couple of dry days in a row go a long way? Are you suggesting we all binge drink super hard one time?
Yeah, just instead of one a night, you have seven on Sunday.
Stack them all up, right? Not exactly. So the guidelines, the guidelines that come down from the National Institutes of Health, among other kind of health organizations, are generally both kind of total consumption over the course of the week, and then also the intensity with which you consume on a specific day. And so, in general, for men, the guidelines are 14 or fewer drinks total in a week, and no more than four in a 2-hour period. So again, kind of avoiding those big bender days. And for women, the guidelines are generally eight or fewer per week total, and no more than two in a 2-hour period. And that's related to just how our bodies kind of process alcohol a little bit differently. So there are some guidelines. For some people, those numbers feel really high. For others, they feel, you know, really low and kind of dramatic. And so what our program really does and what Cutback Coach is all about is meeting you where you are with your consumption and helping you get to a place that feels good for you, being aware of those guidelines, but not necessarily forcing everyone to try and get to the same level, because what we found is that that's just not realistic. And we, again, want to kind of help you achieve your goals on your terms rather than, you know, make you feel bad about yourself for your consumption.
So it's like a improvement from your baseline and awareness.
Yeah, that's the Cutback Coach philosophy, is help you make improvements from where you are, not kind of start you feeling behind from day one.
Got it. Yeah, like we were talking about the behavioral psychology and then like making decisions while you're drunk. I'm always like, oh, it's fine because I can fit a beer into my tracking, right? So that's, I can drink and be fit, except your intake quiz touched on drunchies, and that is something that people don't take into account. But like, yeah, sure, you could fit a beer into your meal, but then like the more you have, the more you're gonna like eat poorly.
Yeah, and the less likely it is that you'll work out the next day if you've had that kind of last one. And you know, so there are all these kind of ancillary benefits of being a little bit more mindful with your drink and or with your drinking, and that's really what Cutback Coach is kind of also helps people to visualize. There's the immediate calorie savings and the kind of improved likelihood to actually get out and be active if you're not waking up feeling kind of bleary and headachy, you know, not to mention the money saved, the sleep quality improvements. You know, the benefits are pretty massive, and that's why, you know, the Cutback Coach system is really focused on helping you contextualize alcohol in the context of your overall health rather than kind of you know, just being a service to help you fix your drinking, right? Where, you know, we're more focused on the people that don't consider themselves problem drinkers, but are interested in ways to optimize their performance. And it turns out that alcohol is a great keystone habit to, you know, improve your overall, your life, basically.
And those people, like, you're not converting them, you're just sort of finding that audience? Or do you have some sort of strategy to, like, bring this to the public, like me and Max, that aren't thinking about it yet, but should be?
Yeah, that's really our goal. So, you know, we believe that, as I mentioned, we believe that alcohol should be as common and socially accepted as tracking calories and steps as a component of our health and wellness routines. So rather than kind of going, you know, the therapeutic route or trying to find people that are, you know, actively trying to solve their drinking, we're much more focused on, you know, the 70% of US adults who consume alcohol and don't fall into that category, right? So for us, telling the story of the role that alcohol plays in your health in a non-judgmental and kind of friendly way is a much more interesting path to the consumers that we want to be working with than some of the traditional kind of, like, you know, AA or recovery programs, which we really don't put ourselves in that camp. You know, we think of ourselves in the category with Noom and with Calm, rather than, you know, with AA or something that's a little bit more all or nothing. And we have a ton of respect for those programs. You know, I think there is a population of drinkers for whom sobriety is likely the right path, but we actually believe that there's a larger market opportunity and ultimately a more approachable solution for the many others that don't fall into that camp yet nonetheless have opportunity to just be a little bit more, you know, again, intentional about the role that alcohol plays in their health. So this is the strategy ultimately, is kind of talking with folks like you who are speaking to a general kind of health audience and not, you know, and hoping to understand alcohol in the context of diet, fitness, sleep, and kind of general performance.
Yeah, the most convincing cutback argument for me is watching my HRV. I don't know if you track anything. I kind of do.
Yeah, right.
Seeing that big old red poor recovery after my beers is, yeah, it's convincing. Do you tie in at all to those type of metrics, or is it more like subjective feeling?
Yeah, so we don't today, but we do think, you know, we're still pretty early days, but we do think that there's a huge opportunity in kind of tying into that kind of quantified self picture in general. Mm-hmm. We believe that, you know, Cutback Coach will be a tool alongside, you know, your Fitbits and your Whoops and your Aura Rings and all of these other kind of passive trackers. So what I think those trackers do really well is help to kind of quantify the physiological impact of consumption, but they don't necessarily provide structure in terms of how to make changes to areas like drinking, which for a lot of people, there are kind of psychological and ingrained habits that are difficult to change. And so I think there's one piece of this, which is kind of visualizing the quantified impact. And for some people who are kind of, you know, very motivated and or have a high degree of kind of self-discipline, just seeing that data as it flips a switch in their head, they're like, okay, I need to, like, stop drinking because it's having this impact on my glucose levels or on my, you know, HRV, hey, et cetera. Right. But there's another camp of people who see this and, you know, recognize it as an opportunity, but don't necessarily have the structure or the system to make the change that they may want to. And that's where Cutback Coach comes in. So we provide a kind of a structured system for planning and tracking that ultimately helps you to create goals for yourself and then also keep accountable to them. So, you know, I'm a big fan of James Clear and the Atomic Habits book. And a lot of what he talks about is kind of the small act of tracking as a way to kind of build mindfulness, but then also the fact that you know, you don't rise to the level of goals, but you fail to the quality of your system, right? To paraphrase his quote. And so we provide the system to help you reach your goals rather than just kind of a pure goal orientation or a pure visualization of you know, the quantification of the impact that it has on your body, basically.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So it is the step that people need when, you know, just seeing that number is either not motivating enough, or then you don't know what to do about it the next morning when your devices are mad at you.
Yeah. And it turns out that that's totally okay. Right. It's like, there's no shame in not kind of, you know, not really knowing where to start with changing your drinking habits. It's societally ingrained. It's personally ingrained for a lot of people. It's socially ingrained. And a little bit of help doesn't make you, you know, a problem drinker, right? It just makes you someone who cares about your health and who wants to be proactive in managing, you know, this area that for many people is kind of an overlooked part of your overall health picture. So Cutback Coach is here to kind of help to bring that into the forefront in the place that we believe it should be in our kind of proactive and you know, societal conversation around, you know, health, basically.
It sounds like a big part of this is
being able to sort of get your work done the next day, or to think of the following day and like, what do I want to do tomorrow? Will that one extra drink keep me from doing that? What do you say to somebody who like has the perfect hangover cure? Or is there not one?
Well, first of all, I don't think there is one. And, you know, there are kind of more of these like, you know, panacea, like drink this shot or whatever, and you'll feel totally fine the next day. And like, in a lot of ways, those are kind of patch solutions that I think, you know, maybe address the symptoms more than the root causes a little bit. And you know, again, no knock on them. But I think for a lot of folks, it's the lifestyle is the area that there's an opportunity to make a long-term change. You know, it's not unlike in my mind, you know, some of the like whole 30s or really intense crash diets that for a lot of people, they, you know, they take these pills or they kind of go on these, you know, short extreme diets, and without the structure and without kind of changing their lifestyles immediately at the end of those programs, you know, you end up seeing a lot of folks revert back to their norms. And so with Cutback Coach, we think it's very similar where, you know, you may take a dry month or you may take a hangover cure that makes you feel better. But without structure and without a focus on the underlying habits, it's difficult to kind of keep those habits. And so, you know, we believe that we can be a utility that you use for life, right? That kind of sticks with you and helps you modulate your drinking for the long term, rather than being akin to kind of one of these fad diets or miracle cure type things.
Yeah, dry month does seem like a hangover cure. Isn't that funny?
That's true.
It's just I have an 11 month drinking. I had an 11 month drink and now I'm going to take a dry month and then I'll be right back to it.
That's right. And then when you look at February, for a lot of the folks that, for example, do dry January, it ends up being their biggest drinking month of the year, right? Because they've been saving up their desire to drink for so long that, you know, then February hits and it becomes more intense and potentially kind of more destructive ultimately than, you know, just having kind of a consistent, moderate and mindful baseline.
It's just moderation to the extreme.
and not even, right. That's right.
So with your product, I'm texting in like the number of drinks I'm having. It seems like you're focusing on specifically number, right? Versus, I'm saying this because you brought up glucose. There's like a whole industry of healthy alcohols now where it's low sugar and low sulfites. Do you think at all about like the type you're drinking versus just the amount?
It's a really good question. So we've started, and this was an intentional decision around the simplicity with which we kind of designed the system. We started with the idea of a generic drink as kind of our core unit of measurement. And the reason that we did that was not to say that all drinks are created equal. You know, like we know there are way more calories, for example, in a really sweet sugary cocktail versus, you know, one of these kind of more, you know, health oriented alcohol categories. But that said, where we see that the opportunity is really in being intentional about the transitions between drinks and about kind of making sure that the act of quantifying your consumption is also creating a pause where you can ask yourself whether or not you want the next one or not. Mm-hmm. And so for us then, the simplicity of just kind of, you know, you text us a single character, an emoji of a wine glass, and we log that as a glass of wine for you. The simplicity of the tracking coupled with the importance of the pause rather than the exact ounces that you're pouring or the exact calories is really kind of what makes the program work. So it's very, very easy to track because you don't have to overthink it and log 16 different aspects of the drink. And by taking out your phone and sending that text message, we inherently create a moment of conscious interference. And this is a kind of a behavioral psychology kind of piece of the program, and that interference of pausing to track is where we try to intervene and say, you know, just get you to ask these simple questions of, you know, do I really need the next one? Should I have a glass of water before I go straight into the next glass of wine or whatever? And so there's a lot to be said. And I think there's a lot for us to continue to explore on the differences between drinks and kind of how that embodies itself in the experience. But for us, the fact is like, the pause between is consistent for any category of drink. And that's what we really focus on. So that's a little bit of the kind of behavioral psychology that's steeped in the program. And we wanted to reduce a lot of the friction of tracking because, you know, where a lot of calorie and diet trackers, for example, fail is like, if I have to log every line item of the label, that becomes pretty tedious for a lot of folks. And ultimately is a reason I think a lot of these habit apps end up failing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that a part of the reason why it's SMS versus like having an app?
Totally. So we meet our customers where we are. You know, Cutback Coaches, the experience is almost entirely delivered via two-way text message. So engaging with us is as simple as you would, you know, text a friend. There's a lot of benefits of this, but, you know, we believe that it's a better delivery mechanism for a habit tracker that requires daily engagement versus an app. Because rather than having to go and find us on the third page of your home screen and remember to build the habit around using our app before you even start making progress towards changing your drinking habits, by latching onto text messages where like all of our customers already are and everyone's already checking their text messages 10 to 20 times a day, it becomes really easy to habit stack on that existing behavior. And that's where we're seeing a lot of the success of the program. Cutback Coach members are cutting their drinks by an average of 29% in the first month. And we think a lot of that is because the text message in engagement is so simple that we're getting a really high degree of reporting compliance. And therefore we have a really complete and interesting picture of, you know, where you're starting from and the progress that you're making. And we can selectively intervene to help you make those changes in a way that I don't think we could do if we came to you via another app on your phone.
That's crazy. It is a funny, it's a different thing. I'm texting my, you know what I mean? And I feel
texting
like
your coach, you know?
Yeah. Texting my coach, checking in. I find a lot of people who have personal trainers will have like fake pictures saved up of fake meals that they ate for when they have to text their coach. And a buddy of mine the other day, he's like, yeah, I got caught because he saw, I don't know, it was like a newspaper, so he saw the date in the corner of my photo of my chicken and broccoli, and he realized that was from 2 years ago or whatever.
Yeah, and that's a big part of this too, is like there's a, because we're you know, very guilt-free and non-judgmental and friendly, we try to reduce the reasons to lie. You know, I think it's a it's really a personal accountability system with a little bit of structure rather than like, you know, someone who's watching over your shoulder every time you pour a glass of wine, right? We, again, in wanting to appeal to the casual drinker, the person who likes to drink and doesn't want to feel bad about it, you know, it's important to us that we don't make you feel guilty. And I think sometimes the role of a personal trainer is a little different, right? Like the trainer should make you feel yeah. guilty in some ways to keep you on track with that stuff, right?
Yeah, when I was looking through, you guys are talking about the four phases that you have, and one section was really interesting to me that you help with the person's new identity. And mm-hmm. I think that's really interesting because I do feel like I identify as like a drinker. Oh yeah, I work out, but like I drink and it's heavy beers and that. And then the idea of being associated with these people that are like, well, I abstain because of health reasons is like hard for me. So mm-hmm. I don't know. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. So I mean, I think that the identities that exist in alcohol today, I think have some issues, right? I mean, you've got kind of the sober identity, right? And for some people, that's sobriety from the lens of recovery, right? So people who are, you know, had some problems with alcohol and ultimately have decided it doesn't have a place in their lives. For others, it's a little bit more of kind of this like health and performance lens of, you know, I'm sober because I kick ass at life and, you know, alcohol doesn't have a place in my life. And then there's kind of like the drinker, right? And then, you know, that probably has like casual drinker and problem drinker when you kind of, you know, just divide that a little bit further. And what we think is that there's lacking an identity and a shared kind of way to connect around the idea of being a kind of mindful drinker or a smart drinker, someone who is, you know, wearing the fact that they enjoy consuming alcohol, they enjoy maybe like nice beers or nice glasses of wine, but that it's not something that is a binge drinking kind of culture for them, right? It's not the like hard drinking, hard fast partier. It's the, you know, enjoying alcohol for the right reasons to celebrate and when it's a positive experience, while kind of not relying on it for more of these, you know, for because you had a stressful day or because you, you know, lost your job or you know, just aren't feeling great. And so the identity that we're creating, we're still kind of trying to craft exactly what this looks like, but the identity of kind of the smart drinker is someone who's, you know, mindful and conscious of the role that alcohol plays in their health and not ashamed of being proactive in managing the role that alcohol plays. And also not being ashamed of drinking, right? Like not being, you know, being proud of the fact that like a little bit of alcohol here and there is fine. And I think that's a gap in the market that from our conversations with our customers so far, a lot of people identify with, and yet to this point, it hasn't been easy to kind of express in a way that is, you know, palatable for a big portion of the public. So that's a big area that we're trying to change. And it turns out from the psychology lens, when you have that identity and when you start to kind of define yourself in this mindset and lifestyle, it actually is kind of a self-reinforcing thing where like the more you identify with it, the easier it is to kind of maintain over time, right? Like when you eat a little bit of meat, it's kind of easy to eat a lot of meat here and there, right? Yeah, right. But if you're a vegetarian, right? Like then you kind of, you have this identity that makes it easier to say no to all meat. And so we're trying to find that kind of, that identity of kind of the smart, moderate, mindful drinker, basically.
And is that what you're calling it? Mindful drinker? It seems like you're defining the space. So, okay.
Yeah, the mindful drinker is definitely one that we're excited about. You know, I don't think we have kind of the perfect brand for this just yet, but we're gravitating towards mindful drinker as kind of the starting point for sure.
Yeah.
It's a good name. I mean, that idea of noting how you're feeling, especially with alcohol, is such a big, I mean, you know, noting how you're feeling is mindfulness. I mean, that's a big thing in life. That's when meditation people talk about that stuff all the time. And so like, that's hard to do first thing in the morning over my green tea. You know what I mean? Like, but like applying that to a situation where, you know, you're at sort of a distracting environment and a chemically distracting environment. It's also a really good approach to it. Do you find people like sort of bring in other stuff in there too? Like, are they drinking glasses of water in addition to that? Or are they, how is the reset happening for most people?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So, you know, we focus a lot on helping people kind of push back on cravings. So one of the first areas that we kind of work with new members is, you know, a lot of people do have cravings for drinks, and most of the time those are, you know, psychological rather than like physical dependency cravings. But it's, you know, you finish your day of work and your transition routine is you have the glass of wine to go from work into relaxation mode. Right. And so we work with our customers to identify those kind of triggers and moments where alcohol becomes front of mind, and then help to replace those with kind of healthier and more mindful routines. And so on dry days, that can be things like taking a walk to kind of, you know, build that transition between work and home. Having a hot cup of tea like really can make a big difference for people. Some folks actually have great success, you know, with flavored sparkling waters and pouring them into wine glasses and like feeling the fanciness of the ritual of like kind of having that nice drink without the downsides of kind of, you know, something that ends up not making you feel as great the next day. And so So we kind of start by helping folks to kind of push back a little bit on those cravings. And it turns out that just waiting them out is one of the key strategies. They tend to pass in 15 to 20 minutes. So if you set yourself a 30-minute timer and use that time to think about whether or not you really need it, by the time the timer ends, more often than not, it's actually a lot easier to say no to. And those are the kind of like, you know, types of tips and tricks that we can use to help kind of bring intentionality to automated routines for a lot of people.
How has the past year been?
Yeah, it's been really interesting. Yeah, exactly. So I started working on this kind of in the immediate lead up to the pandemic. It was kind of solving a problem for myself. I was traveling with my wife and we just found ourselves drinking a little bit more than we wanted to be, you know, didn't have a desire to quit entirely, but just wanted to kind of manage alcohol in the way that we did other parts of our health, and basically just found that there wasn't much out there. And so, you know, started working on the system, and then kind of leading up until, you know, the world ended in March. And all of a sudden, you know, we go from kind of bar culture and a lot of the kind of social triggers that end up kind of driving people to drink into boredom as a core trigger for alcohol. And so it turns out that in 2020, 3 out of 4 people drank more than they did in 2019. So there was this kind of huge influx in people who were consuming And mostly out of like not the right reasons, right? Not because you're celebrating, but because you don't have anything better to do. Yeah. And so kind of Cutback Coach emerging in this time was definitely not planned. Like, we didn't build it in response to the pandemic by any means, but it feels like a really good time to collectively and societally reevaluate our relationship with drinking. And again, in a non-judgmental way, and in a non, like, if you drink, you're not healthy, more just like, here are ways to do it that are maybe more in line with your other goals for kind of, you know, health, wellness, and other parts of your life. So 2020 was a really interesting time to be launching this thing. You know, we're very well battle tested as a product with helping people with those specific kind of like boredom triggers, and we've shown really great results with the thousands of members that we've worked with so far. And I think the big question for us now is, you know, as we start to transition back into bar culture, how do we continue to help our members, you know, maintain mindfulness in very different and often, you know, maybe not more challenging, but definitely different types of challenges when it comes to, you know, the social pressure to drink.
Yeah, last call, Max.
That's right. Challenge. Exactly. Yeah. Well, and it's, you know, and again, it goes back to get to the place where you're feeling great and enjoy yourself, but like, don't have the 2 a.m. shot before you go home, right? Like, that's the one.
The most convincing thing for me to not have that extra drink or two or three or four even is that this is true, maybe it is not. I was told that at 0.08 is the same like euphoric feeling that you will feel any drunker. Like, if drunk is a plateau, and like the more you drink, you stay the same in terms of enjoyment.
If not actually start to decrease, right? So it's a really interesting thing where you like, you chase it because it starts to feel good, and then it immediately actually like, you know, the diminishing and ultimately negative returns of the next one. And like, just realizing that is a super powerful insight that can help a lot of people make a change, right? Which is like, I'm here and I'm going to sit in the present feeling and not need to chase the next one, right? And then that's why the mindful drinker, I think, becomes a pretty interesting kind of identity, right?
Yeah, and Rise, we had the CEO of Rise Science on, who's a sleep tracker, and he was like, yeah, you should just day drink, you know, sober up before you go to bed. Wasted in the morning.
Well, I mean, but the science is real. I mean, they basically say that, like, just having that break between your last drink and the time that you actually kind of, like, lay down makes a big difference, and the longer you can you can wait, ultimately, the less impact you're going to have on your sleep quality, which is, again, like how alcohol keystones into the like broader picture of your health.
So it's just longer. It's not like an hour or 5 minutes. How much of a break are we talking?
I don't know that there's like a, you know, 2 hours or more, and you're perfect. Yeah. So I don't know if I'm sure it's contingent upon the amount you've consumed, but I think from my understanding of the science, it's generally longer is better than shorter.
Yeah. I mean,
it's kind of like, you know, the science around drinking in general, they, you know, there's these guidelines that I talked about before, but there's also just generally consuming a little less is healthier than consuming a little more, right? So no matter where you are on kind of your relationship with alcohol, you know, cutting out some drinks can be a way to improve in general.
You're convincing me like my HRV.
Well, if you need the structure, that's what Cutback Coach is there for. Like, we actually love the quantified folks who are tracking all of their biometrics, and then they'll still come in and say, like, yeah, like, I've known the impact that alcohol has had for a long time because I would see it happen in my charts. But Cutback is the first system that's actually given me the structure and the accountability that I've needed to change, you know, its understanding plus system, I think, that really is our secret sauce.
Very cool.
Did you used to get like terrible hangovers? How did this?
it's definitely, you know, I'm Cutback Coach user number one and still an active user for sure. So, you know, I grew up in a household with two parents who are actually in recovery from alcohol. They've given me permission to share that. It's a sensitive subject, but they're, you know, very much at peace with it. And basically what that did for me in my kind of early exploration of my own relationship with alcohol was, you know, rather than kind of being really constrictive and my parents like not letting me make the same mistakes that they did, my parents were actually quite open with talking with me about their own relationship with alcohol and the reasons that they decided that it didn't have a place in their lives, while also allowing me to kind of explore and kind of feel out my own path with drinking. And so I've known for a long time that I've had risk factors in my family. And what that's done for me is actually to help me keep alcohol front of mind and kind of put it in its place in my life. And that's not to say, you know, I went to UC Santa Barbara. It's a pretty hard drinking school. I've definitely had my moments of pretty heavy and in reflection, like very unhealthy bouts of drinking. But over the past kind of decade plus at this point, it's been a long journey for me to get my drinking to a place that feels in line with my overall life goals and priorities, while also allowing me to kind of enjoy alcohol here and there and continue to be a connoisseur of wine and kind of, you know, have my weekends with my college buddies and not feel guilty about that. And so I think I've gotten alcohol to a place that's very healthy in my life, but it's been a long journey. And a lot of the mission of Cutback Coach is to kind of share what I've learned through my own personal experimentation and research with the broader population of people like me who, you know, enjoy drinking and don't feel shame in that, yet nonetheless kind of maybe wake up once or twice a month feeling a little, you know, regretful about how much you consumed the night before. And maybe that's enough motivation to, you know, try something out to basically, again, make some small changes that can have this pretty profound and outsized impact on your health and wellness. And that's what Cutback Coach is really, really here to do.
Yeah, like the 80-20 of drinking. Do you really need that little extra 20% that's going to make you feel 80% crappier the next day?
That's right, exactly. I like it.
Cool. All right. Well, this has been interesting. Let us know, the fit heads, where they can find Cutback Coach and get on board with being a mindful drinker.
Yeah, that's great. So anyone can get started at cutbackcoach.com. We, you know, getting started takes about 5 minutes. We've got a free trial so you can feel out if it's right for you. And really, again, you know, the message from us is if you ever have feelings where, you know, maybe you could use to drink a little bit less, you know, we will not pressure you to kind of quit entirely. We'll help you to enjoy drinking more. And it's really just about helping to understand and put alcohol in its place in your overall health and wellness. So cutbackcoach.com would encourage you all to check it out and would love to work with you.
Yeah, I love the idea of enjoying drinking more. Like, I'm better at drinking than you because I having right. less and enjoying myself.
And yeah, less yeah. guilt about the next, like, yeah, like right? I know I'm going to be good to go the next day. Like, I forget, this is so similar to our, when we had our sleep, we've had a lot of talks about sleep recently. And when we were talking about sleep debt, we were talking about like, oh, nice. I have a little bit of sleep debt. So now I can sort of push it tonight because I know I'm good for the next day because I've been tracking the last 13, 14 days. I can only imagine the same, like I can have this beer and not feel bad about it at all. And the next day I can feel good. Like I'll get up and crush.
Right.
Even real or not. I mean, even if it's placebo or not.
Yeah. Like, well, it's just up. The idea of kind of like knowing the threshold, right? Making the conscious choice of like, what is the drink that you're going to have that is likely to impact your performance the next day? And just that awareness doesn't mean that you're never going to have that drink, but it does mean that hopefully you're being more intentional with when you do it, right? If you're out with your friends having a great time, you know, go for it and you're willing to trade the next day. If you're sitting on the couch on a Tuesday, like probably the one you want to avoid, right?
No judgment, either way.
Oh, yeah.
We talk a lot about these devices and I'm always like, oh, they're showing me hidden data that I didn't have and it's so wonderful. And then you're showing me hidden data that was just the me thinking about how I felt. Like, oh my God, it's been hidden this whole time. I should have just thought, do I feel good? Do I need another drink? No, thank you for revealing that data.
Yeah, of course. And it's easier said than done, of course. So, you know, it's as with all of these things, but it's worth the investment, I think.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you. And thank you to the Fit Heads. We will see you next week.